Commodity Week was recorded August the 8th, 2008.
Commodity Week is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333.
The price of crude oil has plummeted, and so have the markets in Chicago. We'll find out if it's related today on Commodity Week. Welcome to Commodity Week. I'm Todd Gleason. Later in this half hour, we'll talk with Joe Victor from Allendale. Our panelists today are Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, Graham Utter of AgriVisor LLC from Normal, Illinois, and Matt Bennett of Bennett Grain out of Windsor, Illinois.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Let's open today's discussion with this question. Lead option crude oil is nearly $30 off its high and lost a third of that this week in the marketplace. Can we blame the big losses in Chicago on the oil market? Pete Manhart.
I think we can blame part of it on that, but in general, it's just funds getting out, and 70% of their money was in the energies and metals, 30% in the grains, and that is a big part of it.
Matt Bennett?
I agree. It's part of it. It's not all of it. I think, obviously weather has been ideal after the tough start to the growing season. Definitely couldn't have asked for a whole lot more in most parts of the Midwest as far as getting a good combination of not too much heat, but enough heat to get along, and then, plenty of moisture. Everyone's had plenty of moisture this summer. So, I think that the weather's got quite a bit to do with it. But last night, we opened up, we had markets up a little higher. I think corn was trading four or five higher, and then, crude oil got hit, and the dollar started rallying, and we come up this morning, we're down 12 on the overnights. I think that crude oil definitely is playing a big part.
And Graham Utter.
Yeah, crude oil definitely does have a big part because it is kind of a benchmark. Everybody looks at crude oil, and it's been a gauge over the, for the long haul here of where commodities are going and where they've been. You look at corn, and we've lost, 35% of our price in corn here just in the last 3.5 weeks or so. About 27% of the price of soybeans. So it's had a major effect on the markets.
Graham, welcome to the show. By the way, this is your debut on Commodity Week as a panelist. We appreciate you coming in from Normal, Illinois. Why don't you continue in the vein of the corn market just a bit? Tell me what the RFS decision from US EPA this week will mean to the marketplace, if anything at all, other than continued demand from the ethanol industry.
Well, I think there's, it definitely is a positive for the ethanol industry. I think that for the most part, it was expected. I don't think anybody, expected to give a golden pass to Texas and say that, everyone else has to abide by the rules, but you guys don't. It wasn't necessarily a surprise, but more of a confirmation, I feel.
Matt, did you know this, that the U.S. ethanol capacity has risen more than 50% since last August to about 10 billion gallons a year, and that since June, and I don't know whether you knew this one either or not, we've opened 8 new plants in the United States.
Well, I know from reading, there for a while we kind of backed off on a couple of these plants, but then here recently we've heard about some of the new ones coming online. It definitely doesn't hurt that corn has fell $3. I think that it's showing that the ethanol industry is going to be fairly resilient. You've got all these plants up and going. Most of these guys had forward contracted their corn needs, so they were able to keep going. I think that we're going to chew through a lot of bushels of corn for some time.
On Commodity Week, we always use the lead option corn in the continuous chart. So off $3, not quite that much, but they lost 66 cents this week, 66 and a half in the nearby September, which is the lead option. 565 was the high, the low at 494 and a quarter, with a settlement price of $4.98 and a half cents. I guess that is right. $5, $8 minus 498 and a half is, well, that's at least $3. 66 and a half cents down from the previous week. December corn futures at 518 and a quarter, down 66 and three quarters from last week. Can we find some place to put a little support under the marketplace, Pete?
I think this 490 to 5 area should be support unless we really get hammered by the USDA report next Tuesday. Ideas are that USDA is going to come out with huge numbers on both corn and beans. That might be good for us to be able to go in and buy calls to for the upside after we do start harvesting.
Average trade guess for the corn next Tuesday morning when USDA releases it at 7:30 for the production number is now at 11.938 billion bushels, range from an 11.1 to a 12.33. That top number is Informa's, with an average yield of 152.3, ranging from 149 to 155 and four-tenths of a bushel. Graham, where do you guys stand at AgriVisor?
We're actually a little bit lower than that. We're at 11.791 is our best estimate. That's with 150.2 bushels per acre. You know, I guess you take a look at this thing, and the market has really taken a dive here, and I think we're definitely sitting in an oversold area, and we're just having a hard time finding anybody to buy it right now. And, you know, the producers aren't selling. They're waiting for a higher price. I think we do find support down here. And I think, you know, 480 is probably a low end of support. But at any time, I think support's welcome. And I think the report will bring it, you know, whether it's, you know, higher, you know, a higher bushel figure or a lower bushel figure. You know, there's going to be support in this market.
You know, an 11.791 crop. How many acres were you using on harvested acreage?
78.5 million.
And that really is the number that's important, maybe, that's coming out next week. It's not usually in the August crop production, but because of all the flooding, USDA, Matt, says that they need to update those numbers. Will they be right?
You know, it's going to be a tough time to tell. I think, you know, it's about impossible to know in August what we're going to have as far as harvested acreage. You know, the combination of the numbers, I still think, you know, 11.5 is probably about as high as what I'd want to go. And I think that that can go a little lower as we get through here. I think that, you know, we had the type of spring this year that, you know, we just, even within fields, a lot of guys will tell you, you know, they're going to have anything from zero to 250 bushel corn. Because there's a lot of holes where there's just nothing there, or they went in there and planted beans. So whenever I look at this report, I think that everyone's going to take it with a grain of salt. I agree with what Graham says. I definitely feel like people have been kind of waiting on this report. Maybe if they want to establish a long position, they don't want to do it ahead of it. But if they see any weakness because of the report, I think there'll be a lot of people that'll be happy about that because they're going to step in and buy it.
So you're saying an 11.5 billion bushel corn crop?
I can't make an argument for a whole lot more. You know, I'm not saying that the USDA is not going to come out with something higher than that. It's just that I don't feel like in the long run we're going to have more than that.
I think the low, and I'm not quite certain about this, I'd have to go through, but one of the lowest numbers comes from Risk Management Commodities, who joins us on Friday afternoons on the closing mark report. They're down at 11.25 billion bushel crop. Where do you think it'll land, Pete?
I think this 11.3 to 11.6, somewhere in there, but I think whatever it is, I think a big thing this week is who are the people buying? You know who are buying this week? End users. And that tells you the price is low enough that if we get one little shot more down, there are going to be lots of people waiting to buy. So I think the report is important because people are waiting for it. I think once it's over with, we'll have a new starting point, and then we'll go back to trading what we actually think we have instead of what we think USDA might come out with in a week.
Those were the buyers. What did the squawk boxes tell you about who were the sellers? There was one day this week that was pretty rough, and there was a lot of rumor across the marketplace.
Well, the rumor was that there were funds being forced out because they changed them from being end users to specs, and they had to come up with more money. Those rumors never panned out, but I think it was funds were big sellers across the board. they're selling out of everything. It was kind of a get-me-out attitude in crude oil, in metals, in everything, including the grains. And I think they were the big sellers over the last month, actually.
Wheat market like this for the week, the high for the wheat. Well, I don't have the high. The low at $7.46. September wheat settled at $7.65 and a quarter, down 28 and three quarters. July at $8.43, down 24 cents. And from the bean pit, August contract this week at a high of $13.50 and three quarters of a cent, a low at $11.86 and a quarter. They settled at $11.99, down $1.58 and three quarters from last week. November soybeans, $11.80 and a half, a loss of $1.84 and a half. The bean meal was down $47.60. The bean oil for the week off $6.22. It was an awful week in the bean market.
There's a lot of stories out in the bean market. You know, they're talking about India. Their weather improved, so it looks like they're going to have an abundance of supply, you know, of soybeans, their oil, palm oil. I feel like with beans, though, one thing I want to keep my customers in the back of their mind is that, you know, I don't think we can hit this thing, you know, day after day, week after week. South America, we still want to entice them to plant a fair amount of acreage of beans because, you know, just because we've been looking at these prices backing off the way they have, crude oil's backed off, a lot of our commodities have backed off, people's demand for them still hasn't backed off. So, you know, we still had high exports of beans this week. We're over the estimate, and I think it's something we have to keep in mind. We're going to be pretty tight going into harvest, and it's going to be a late harvest.
And Graham, will they need to push the price of beans up in the next couple of months to try to entice Argentine and Brazilian farmers to plant more hectares?
I think definitely. I think we're definitely going to have to see bean acres show up out of South America. And, you know, with as sketchy as our crop is here, you know, beans were late. They got drowned out just as bad as the corn did. They're short, and I think that's going to be the most interesting part of the report come Tuesday.
Taking a look at the numbers. Oh, go ahead, Pete.
One other item that we forget about is the Olympics just started. China hasn't been buying lately. They bought early to get all this stuff into the country. They haven't been a buyer very much for the last few days or even a week because they didn't want their ports clogged. So you take China out from buying for a while. Once that Olympics over, they could be up buying like crazy again.
So let's take a look at the numbers for the predictions, crop production predictions on USDA next Tuesday. For soybeans, the average trade guess now at 3.003 billion, range from a 2957 to a 3.1 billion bushel crop. July USDA number was a 3 billion bushel crop. Soybean average trade estimate at 41.6. And that happens to be the same as what USDA said in July. Are they right?
That's a good question. I don't know. I agree with what Graham says about beans. You know, you won't talk to too many farmers that will tell you that they've got really good-looking fields of beans everywhere. There's just not a lot of great-looking beans. They've definitely come on the last couple of weeks. It's tough to tell, though. Like Graham said, we're late. Who knows what, you know, if we have an early frost, what's it going to do to the bean market? I mean, that could be a very interesting dilemma that we would have. I think when they come out Tuesday, they're going to have less of an idea what the bean crop's going to be than what they do most generally just because of the lateness of the planting.
Pete, livestock producers are feeling better. Should they be taking any action in the marketplace?
I would be looking at putting some calls on to ensure what they need for feeding those hogs in both meal and corn.
And would everybody else agree with that?
Definitely.
Yeah, I think just recently here the hog producer got back into the black, and I guess it happened so fast he's probably not quite sure what to do, whether to buy some feed down at these levels that look like we're finding some support at, or to go out there and sell some hogs because they seem to be shooting through the roof right now. And I think, you know, my standpoint on that has always been look at it from a margin standpoint, and you do them both at the same time, you lock in a profit, and right now it really looks like a good time to do both.
Chris Hurt last week said that the livestock producer in the United States needed to be fairly optimistic coming up in the next few months. Part of that had to do with the weakness in the dollar, but it managed to rally quite a bit this week. And a good portion of that was because the export market for red meat was so good. Graham, are we in trouble with the export market in the future, or is Chris right?
Well, I think he's, you know, I agree with him. I think for the most part, the exports have been strong lately. Nothing says that they're going to slow down. You look at the spreads from nearby months out to the deferred months, and you know, they're telling us that demand is up front, and so we're seeing the front months increase in relation to the back months. So, you know, exports look strong now. I think they'll continue strong in the future.
You're listening to Commodity Week. It was recorded on the 8th day of August. Here are some of the rest of the numbers from the Mercantile Exchange. Live cattle futures, August contract, a 102.55 top, a bottom at 99.60. Settled at 101.47.5, a $1.45 higher. August feeders were down a dollar at 114.62.5. And the August lean hogs had a high this week of 88.97.5, a low at 81.90. A settlement price $7.40 higher. August lean hogs at 88.97.5.
I'm Steve Hilberg with the NOAA Midwestern Regional Climate Center, located at the Illinois State Water Survey in Champaign. After a muggy, stormy beginning to the week, cooler, drier air spilled across Illinois in time to make for a very comfortable weekend. 90-degree temperatures pushed well into Illinois this week, with some highs into the mid-90s in western Illinois on Tuesday. The prospect of a second day with readings in the 90s was tempered by the cold front and cloudiness associated with showers and thunderstorms. Temperatures this week range from 2 degrees above normal in northern Illinois to 4 degrees above normal in southwestern Illinois. Rainfall was well above normal across the northern and northeastern portions of the state, largely as the result of the heavy thunderstorms on Monday night, and it was also above normal across southwestern Illinois from thunderstorms on Tuesday. Parts of east central and much of far southern Illinois missed out on the significant rain, as only scattered thunderstorms hit these areas. It appears the weather in Illinois will be dominated by a general northwest flow aloft next week. Depending on the exact configuration of this pattern, which is a little uncertain right now, this should translate to temperatures near to perhaps below normal next week. As small disturbances move through the flow aloft, there will be periodic chances for some scattered showers and thunderstorms during the week, with the midweek period being the most likely window. For the NOAA Midwestern Regional Climate Center in Champaign, I'm Steve Hilberg.
Commodity Week is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at agrigold.com or at 800-262-7333.
This edition of Commodity Week was recorded Friday, August the 8th, 2008. I'm Todd Gleason. Our panelists today are Graham Utter of AgriVisor out of Normal, Illinois, Matt Bennett of Bennett Grain in Windsor, Illinois, and Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. Joining us now from Crystal Lake, Illinois, is the Director of Marketing for Allendale. His name, of course, is Joe Victor. Prior to coming to Allendale in 1991, our guest was a grain merchant with Seeger's Grain. And previous to that, he served as the department head of agriculture at McHenry County College. Joe, welcome to the show.
Thank you for the invitation.
Tell me how Allendale sees next week's USDA crop production and acreage update playing out.
Well, if you look at it historically, 50-50 odds over the past 10 years that USDA has either increased or decreased corn production. Odds are much heavier towards soybeans. 70% of the time, USDA lowers the yield for soybeans, and there was 2 years, of course, they were unchanged. So the odds are suggesting, and the trade is getting bared up for bigger production numbers, yield per acre on corn, and we believe we're actually going to see a little touch less yield per acre on soybeans. We did not adjust our acres at this point in time. We do believe that USDA will be adjusting downward corn acres, but incrementally, as opposed to one big shot in the August 12th report, and incrementally from that August, September, and even into the October report, we'll see harvested acres on corn chiseled down.
Joe, Pete, what do you think about the carryout numbers on corn? Will this be a the highest we see for the year, or do you think it'll grow later on?
I really believe, Pete, that this is going to be the highest that we see for the year. Our estimate right now, we're carrying just a little bit over 1.92 million, and that is going to give us end stocks to use ratio about 9%, a season average cash price about $5. We believe, you know, and I've been listening to your excellent discussion, that yes, there is opportunity that's being presented not only for the end user in the cattle and the pork industry, but even in the Chinese bean buying. I mean, they really never, our research has shown, even with a dollar rallying, China's got to feed people. And if they need to feed pork, they will buy pork. And we believe that this next report, this August 12th report, will show us the high. Our bean end stock number is at 109 million bushel for new crop, giving us a stocks-to-use ratio of 4%, which would be a record low dating back to 1980, and suggesting a season average farm price of $12.30 a bushel.
Joe, Matt Bent here, and continuing on that same line of thinking, you know, obviously there's still very large appetite for basically all commodities. If you look at what we've done to this corn market, you know, don't we have to keep in the back of our mind what kind of acreage implications we're looking at for next year, and how do you foresee potentially like the DSO 9 contract maybe lending some support to the cash market?
Exactly. You know, we've seen this week, typically, again, that ratio between beans and corn, if you start pushing 2.4 to 1, it's a little bit more friendly to the beans. And we start pushing 1.8 to 1.9 to 1, we start pushing towards the corn. And we have watched that ratio starting to narrow in. What was earlier this week at about a 2.18, closer to a 2.13. We saw limited plantings for corn in 2008, not necessarily because of price-driven, but more agronomic-driven after hitting it hard for 2 years. We believe farmers are going to go right back in. Clients that we have, as they were locking in fertilizer prices prior to this collapse, we just had to make certain of one thing, and that is if you're going to lock in fertilizer prices, also be locking in cash forward prices, or at least get the hedge on short futures long calls for 2009 to help offset increased input costs, make sure you've got your production locked in as well. So we believe we're going to see substantial 93-type million acres in corn for next year. Beans about the same, but who's going to end up being the sacrificial goat here will be the wheat market, we believe.
And Joe, this is Graham from AgriVisor, and just interested, what do you tell your producers right now? I know there's probably a lot of fears out there. We've seen such a huge drop here recently. They're looking for good advice on what they can do to capture some of this move and to protect the crop that they haven't sold yet. What do you tell them?
Well, at this point in time, much like for locking in feed for the end use on cattle and hogs, to be buying calls at the same time for the producer, we're saying the same thing. You know, we, as you guys mentioned, there's a pretty sharp discussion here. We've already had a 36% sell-off from the 799 high. That is a record. We have hit 32% sell-off based on a typical after July 4th seasonal sell-off. Crop is doing okay. You're gaining a few percentage points on conditions. And at the same time, not only seeing that typical historical seasonal sell-off, but we've got the pressure from the crude oil. Ironically, crude oil's dropped off 22%, the beans 28%, and the wheat has had a decline also of 22%. Beans at a 28% sell-off, we actually had even a more severe sell-off. That was back in 2004 when we sold it off 30%. So we believe that we're getting very close to a bottom. As Paul had mentioned, that we get to a point where there is aggressive export demand for corn. Our new crop sales to date were at 266 million bushel. The three-year average is 167. Somebody's out there buying. For the week net change, funds sold 27,000 contracts of corn. Ironically, commercials bought 34,000. So they more than offset what the funds were liquidating this week, and that's combined futures and options. So we're telling our clients, probe the potential bottom on corn primarily with the call options in December, and then also for the new crop that's going to be coming in, start looking at March, possibly May call options for 2009.
Joe, you know, 93 million acres of corn, I don't want to argue against that by any means, but when you talk about crude oil sliding the way that it has, fertilizer hasn't come down.
Exactly.
You know, marginal acres, how are you going to get a guy to talk his banker into putting $550 an acre into a corn crop that, you know, in some places he can't even get a bid for the fall? Now, I like your hedging strategy as well. I think that when you lock your inputs in, you got to lock your output.
But, exactly.
You know, how are we going to come up with 93 million acres? I guess what I'm asking you is, what kind of a rally are we going to be looking at to get there?
Well, for the December 2008, we believe we got to rally back to at least the 636 level. And bear with me just a second on the 2009 futures for corn. You're looking at a rally back to at least to the 654 area. And the one thing to remember, not only have we seen this crude oil sell-off, but we've also seen the natural gas sell-off. Typically, whatever the natural gas price is today, 6 months from now is when we start to see the actual cash price equivalent from that natural gas being turned into anhydrous ammonia. And we're telling our farmers, now is not the time to be buying input cost on the fertilizer. Let's wait until that December-January time frame when we see the reflective sell-off in natural gas going back. Well, we're going to believe it, that if we do see that this corn market remains relatively flat, the fertilizer market is not going to price themselves of not wanting to supply fertilizer to these farmers. And they know that nitrogen is a good profit for them, as well as the P and the K. We believe that, again, we are going to see our highest stocks number in this August report. There is demand that's being created, whether it's for livestock feed, whether it's for export, or whether it's even for ethanol use. That it's a little bit of a lull now. It is a typical seasonal sell-off, but at the same point in time, demand is starting to perk back up.
And so with that, you know, hearing, you know, some of the struggles for next year's crop as far as cost-wise, it's going to be a lot more expensive. Are you hearing producers shy away from planting corn acres next year?
Most of our clients right now, again, are at a momentary pause. They believe that the market needs to buy corn acres for 2009. They're not buying input cost at this point in time, especially in the fertilizer market. And they believe, again, it is an aggressive number at 93 million acres. But, again, you start to look at the world picture. What do we do with wheat? World wheat stocks increased by 17 million metric tons this year. Last time we were down to these tight stocks levels, 2003, the increase in world end stocks for wheat was 8 million. The point that I'm making is, if you include all grains, wheat, corn, rice, millet, sorghum, take those starch grains. Presently, we're looking at a 59-day supply projected for next year, a 58-day supply, and that's coming off the heels of a 115-day supply back in 1999-2000.
Joe, we appreciate you taking the time with us today.
Thank you, Todd.
Joe Victor is with Allendale out of Crystal Lake, Illinois. Now for a final word from our panelists in studio. We'll start with you, Pete Manhart.
Well, we expect a low here soon in the grains. We do expect them to bounce as we get into harvest and after harvest, and we would wait until those times to add to sales.
Pete Manhart is with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Matt Bennett is with Bennett Grain in Windsor, Illinois.
I agree with Pete. I think we're going to be making a low here pretty soon, and I would like to see guys just be patient, not panic on it, and if you get an opportunity to put on some call strategies, I would do so.
And Graham Utter is with AgriVisor out of Normal, Illinois.
I think the sheer dollar amount that we've lost in the market here recently is just going to be a supportive factor regardless of how the report comes out here on Tuesday. And so, you know, we do see a bounce off of this and higher prices.
And that is this edition of Commodity Week. Be sure to tune in next Saturday for another program.